From smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more, Hitta Home Safety Products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Did you know that your detectors need to be replaced every 5 to 10 years? Hitta detectors feature enhanced sensing technology that reduces false alarms and fast alerts for more time to get out safely. Visit us in-store or on Menards.com and shop our great selection of Hitta safety products.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to another episode of Solano Moms Building Community Podcast. Today, we're honored to have a trailblazing leader and advocate for equity, Supervisor Cassandra James, joining us for an insightful conversation. Supervisor Cassandra James serves Vallejo residents in Solano County District 1st, covering Greater Vallejo. As the first millennial elected to this position, she's committed to ensuring all residents have the opportunity to thrive, championing equity, community resources, and housing stability. With over a decade of experience serving vulnerable populations in San Francisco, Supervisor James has fought for housing access, economic justice, and safety nets for historically excluded communities. In Vallejo, she has continued this work through Vallejo Together, the Housing and Community Development Commission, and other local boards, ensuring community voices are heard and valued. Supervisor James' lifelong dedication to public service is a powerful testament to the impact of advocacy, representation, and lifting up the next generation. So get ready for an inspiring discussion with Ms. James. Hi, Patty, my co-host.
Hi, Miriam.
Are you ready for today's?
You betcha. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, yes, me too. We have a special guest. She's inspiring. She's beautiful. And she is very sweet. It is our guest is Cassandra James, Solano County Supervisor, District 1. Yes. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Hi, Patty. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Cassandra.
We are excited to ask you some questions and get to know you and also the greater Vallejo.
Yes.
Because Patty and I live in Vacaville. We know about Vallejo. I actually always go to your Kaiser, which they have the best doctors.
Thank you.
Yes. But now I want to know even more, and I want to know how we can collaborate through cities, bringing resources to each other, because that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to start. What inspired you to pursue public service and take on the role of district supervisor for Vallejo?
Ooh, public service. I would say that I've been a long time public servant. One of my first jobs was when I was 16 years old at Girl Source, and we created campaigns for young women to talk about like health education, relationship education through various media means. And when I turned 18, I went away for school, went to Dillard University in New Orleans, but Hurricane Katrina happened and sent me back home. I was speaking at a town hall, and one of the program director for the San Francisco Youth Commission came up to me and asked, was I interested in joining? And I didn't have not a clue what what she was talking about. I didn't understand like legislation or anything. Like, I have a sense of public service, but our sense of like elected officials and everything, but nothing to the grasp of what's a resolution, legislation. Mm-hmm. You're actually lobbying people. So I was appointed by then supervisor Sophie Maxwell to the Youth Commission, and I was reappointed by then Mayor Gavin Newsom for two more terms. And that's what really kicked off my interest in, I would say, public service, but really sitting at the table, looking at the policies that impact community. And I've been in Vallejo for 15 years now.
Oh, wow.
And both my boys, you mentioned Kaiser earlier, both my boys were born at Kaiser Vallejo. And it was the summer of, I always say the summer of racial reckoning, after the murder of George Floyd. Then a month later, Sean Matarossa was murdered and by Vallejo PD. And my son, who was 6 at the time, asked, like, Mom, what can we do? And I couldn't be on the sideline anymore, just frustrated, angry, and scared about what can we do. Like, we could no longer, I was no longer interested in the protest. I was no longer interested in being angry and not really seeing change. And that's when I looked to, we have to be at the table. Yes. In order to make impact. And the first time, and I had a community leader ask me to run for Vallejo City Council at first. And I gave her every excuse under the book. And she asked me like 7 to 9 times. And she finally said, like, I will personally babysit your kids. If that is what is really
that's
stopping you.
That's a hard
you.
Job. I mean, that meant you yes. really meant a lot to her that she wanted you to run.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's when I made the decision to run. I went through a training program and put together a village. And I ended up losing Vallejo City Council. But the opportunity for Board of Supervisors came up. And I was asked again, have you ever thought about the Board of Supervisor seat? This is what the supervisor does in Solano County. They went over mainly like what the supervisor does and why it would be good for this seat. And I was like, I have to again talk to my family. I'm a mom first. Mm-hmm. I'm a partner. I take care of my grandmother. So all of these aspects were there. And finally, after like 4 months, decided to run for this seat because, again, like I feel folks who are closest to the problem are closest to the solution. Mm-hmm. And really need to be at the table.
Yes.
To understand, one, how the system works, but being able to be a voice to say, this doesn't work for all communities. Mm-hmm. And I always forget the quote, but I love it at the same time. Mm-hmm. Boats or all boats rise on tides.
All boats rise on a tide. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Or see, that's
the
what
tide my, raises all boats or something like yeah, that.
Yeah. It's one of my favorites, but but this is like the real importance of being at the table and really having access to folks who make the decisions, how decisions are made, and even to reform some of the policies. Yes. That have impacted communities in the past.
Definitely. Because you're close to it.
Yes.
with your family and mm-hmm. people, your friends. So you, like you say, the people that are closest to it are the closest to the solutions.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you're in a place of power where yes. you can make something happen.
Yes.
That you know is right.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that you communicate with tell you this is right. This
yes.
is what we need.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yes.
And for some people that don't understand fully what the job of a district supervisor is, can you share some of your key responsibilities and how your role impacts Vallejo residents?
So this is a good one because, you know, that county government is the oldest form of government in our country.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
And Solano County is one of the original counties in California, with Vallejo being twice the capital of California.
Yeah, yeah, I know that's true. And
yes.
I also know that Solano County is the most diverse county
yes.
in the state.
Yes, and across the country.
Wait, Vallejo is the capital of California?
Twice it was.
Oh, it was?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
long time ago.
Oh.
Yeah, we can talk about that.
Yeah. Another episode.
Yes. Yeah. But it goes to the point of Solano County being one of the original counties. And for a Board of Supervisor, I always try to explain it in layman's terms, is the Board of Supervisor, we are the administrative arm to the state. So the state passes yeah. legislation, and then it comes down to the Board of Supervisors to figure out how dollars are spent and then implement the programs, basically.
Yeah. Like my niche is NAMI.
Mm-hmm.
And so the MHSA, Mental Health Services Act,
yes.
got passed
mm-hmm.
like 20 years ago. And so the state gets the money from the millionaires and they divvy up the money into the states.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so that's how we get part of our funding.
Yes. So we're like the purse holder
yeah.
for the community. And And at the same time, you partner with how many ever cities you have in your county. Solano County has 7 cities, and it's also, there is also unincorporated areas where they're responsible to provide services, either mental health, public safety resources, or whatever the case may be. And that's like the most lamest terms for the board. For the Board of Supervisors. And for the first district, I am honored to serve the 93,000 residents in the first district, which is only Vallejo.
Not Benicia.
Yes, okay. Mm-hmm. That's District 2 that has Vallejo, Benicia, parts of Cordelia, Fairfield, I believe. Mm-hmm. I'm the only Board of Supervisors that represents one city.
Wow, and that's a big city.
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's the biggest city in the county, for
yes,
sure.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. And my decision, like, overall, I have to understand everything. The county is big on agriculture, like water. We have, like, public safety concerns. It depends on which city you're in. Mm-hmm. The interest is different, or what area of the county you're in, the interest is different. And I have to be aware of all these issues. But I get to uplift the issues that matter to the first district the most. Yeah. So, and I know with Vallejo in particular, when I campaigned and listened to neighbors, it was housing was a number one issue, public safety, economic development. So looking for those opportunities when I sit on the board to see how it impacts Vallejo, mm-hmm. and also bringing the information back down to Vallejoans.
Yeah, that's what I noticed on your Instagram. You're very transparent and you bring the information to the community, which is amazing because people build trust with you that way when you bring everything that you have to your constituents. I think that's amazing.
No, thank you.
So what are some of the biggest challenges in Vallejo that you're facing right now?
So one of the biggest challenges in Vallejo is cost of living. Mm. So housing and homelessness. People tend to look at housing as one thing, and it's not. There's this whole housing ladder. And homelessness is a part of that housing ladder. So that's one of the big things. And there's not enough dollars or resources to either build more housing, to provide services to those who are unhoused. And to and I would also say, there's an array of services from whether someone, because homelessness isn't monolithic. Mm-hmm. Someone could become homeless, or we know there's a data that we are a paycheck away. Now, I forgot if it's 1 in 4 Americans or 1 in 6 Americans are a paycheck away from being houseless, or an emergency away from being houseless. So it can be due to being a survivor of domestic violence. It could be to having a mental episode, or it could be to not understanding the tax transfer when somebody passes away and you inherit a house, not even understanding financial illiteracy. Mm-hmm. Whatever the issue may be, there's not enough resources in Vallejo to handle all of that. And another one is economic opportunity. You mentioned earlier, Vallejo is the county's biggest city. Mm-hmm. And there isn't enough economic opportunities within Vallejo. Although Vallejo is amazing and beautiful, but it also needs some economic opportunity so that way people can work and live in the same county or within the same city.
So do you mean like businesses that will hire?
Mm-hmm, businesses that will hire, opportunities to build the city up. We talked about Vacaville downtown mm-hmm. earlier, opportunity to build up Vallejo's downtown, mm-hmm. especially in within the distance of the ferry, because it's attached to the ferry. And I would say that, and if I can bleed a little bit into like some of the solutions, there is an entirely council. So Vallejo City Council, everyone on council has been there or have never been elected before 2022. So
it's brand new
and you have 4 new people join council just in January.
Which could be really good or really
hard. They could be innovative or
not know what they're doing.
Exactly.
But it's exciting at the same time because we are working really hard to have a partnership or I know I am, I have a relationship with each of the council members.
Oh, awesome.
And
yes.
The mayor, where awesome. We meet on a biweekly or monthly basis to really tackle the issues or the concerns. One of the things, public safety, that's another one that is another issue in Vallejo. But public safety is having a transparent conversation around it. It's looking at the resources within the county and outside of the county and in our region to bring to Vallejo or to bring to the county overall. And that's the exciting thing about having new council members on city council. One, if I, off the top of my head, the new mayor, Andrea Source, she is an economic professor at DVC.
Oh, and, wow. Yeah,
yes.
DVC. I actually went there.
Wow.
Yes.
I went to high school across the street.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. So, having that expertise around just, looking at economics through a social justice lens is important. And she also co-founded ACLU, the Solano County chapter. Then you have, Alex Matias. He is a executive at a statewide policy think tank for children policy. Mm-hmm. He has been elected to our council. Then we have Dr. Tanya Letterjou, who used to be an auditor for the state of California. Wow. And is currently the CEO of the San Francisco Housing Authority. So you have these folks council that are well qualified and that could really turn the city and really help me. And I always say subject matter experts help me and guide me on how I could be a better supervisor to Vallejo. And sorry for that long-winded answer.
No, that's great, because that's what we want to know. Actually, mm-hmm. Most people, at least I don't know, Patty is very much, I think, into this, but I don't know how each entity of the government works together mm-hmm. to bring change into a community.
Yes.
And now knowing how each entity, you're working with them and bringing all this is amazing to know. It's very educational, actually.
And with public safety, just kind of going back to that, I know that there has been a lot of openings in the police department
yes.
for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And wondering if you know anything about what the plan is to fill those.
I don't know the specific plan within VPD or Vallejo Police Department, but I know that there are ongoing conversations between Sheriff's Department and Vallejo Police
yeah.
Department after the Senate bill, and I can't think of the number, I believe it's 1347, but don't quote me on that. By former Senator Bill Dodd, wrote it for basically retired sheriffs, increasing their hours so that they could come back. They'll come back to a low risk job or a desk job. Putting air quotes as if everybody could see me.
We can see.
Yes. Yes. Maybe I should take a picture of that.
Yes. So they could do and pull their active sheriffs to partner with
yeah.
the city of Vallejo.
Yeah.
However, they have to get an MOU before the sheriff can come and partner with the city of Vallejo. And
MOU
it's what it costs.
Is Memorandum of
Understanding.
Understanding.
Yes. A Memorandum of Understanding. So that's one aspect of it. And since their first meeting of the new council, they've had a city council meeting every week. Every Tuesday, and they've had a meeting on public safety to get the public's input on what they think public safety should look like. Mm-hmm. In Vallejo, police presented some data in regards to what they're doing, what organizations
Great.
They're working with. And Councilmember Matias, he specifically asked for $50,000 to bring in a nationwide consultant on public safety. And just this past Thursday, Councilmember Matias, Councilmember Letizou, and I went to San Francisco. It was All-Star Weekend.
I saw that.
Yes.
And I was jealous seeing you in that VIP table.
Yes. And it was an opportunity. They have community initiatives. And it was really important for Solano County to be a part of that conversation.
No kidding. We
yes.
are part of the Bay Area.
Exactly.
We're like stepchildren.
Yes.
Exactly. And they had one on violence reduction showcase. And they invited all counties and some key cities. But of course, we kind of barged in there.
Good.
Because we
Barge.
Weren't initially
we
on
need.
The table.
Yes.
We were initially on the invite list. And we were able to do a presentation around what is happening in Solano County and Vallejo, and the need to be a part of this overall conversation, especially along the 80 corridor, because Solano County is the last affordable county in the Bay Area, meaning that we are the hub for folks who displace San Franciscans, displace Oaklanders, displace folks from Richmond. They're coming to Solano County, and we don't have the resources to handle the new, I would say, our displaced residents, right? So having this conversation and being invited to say, hey, we're going to continue having ongoing conversations. Vallejo, Solano County, are you interested? After we made the presentation. So we're now going to be a part of this regional roundtable to discuss, like, what does violence prevention and public safety dollars look like? How do we get access to some of those resources? And how do we calm some of the violence that is happening? Because we are along this 80 corridor. Yeah. And again, we weren't initially in those conversations.
Oh, good job.
So, yes. So that's one of the things we're doing in regards to public safety. But again, it's at the forefront. And we just had one of the churches held a public safety town hall.
Oh, I saw that too.
And we...
Saturday.
Yes, on Saturday. And we had reiterated some of the things that we were doing, explained what the $50,000 will be used for, because that organization, and I only know acronyms, I don't even know the full name, and I could share that later, but the organization will be coming in to help us. There's another statewide policy think tank that have dedicated resources to Solano County just last month, and that's California's for Safety and Justice. They lobby our state legislators and ask for financial backing. Like, that's how you have the CalVIP or violence intervention prevention dollars. So they just made a commitment to partner with us to help us have access to those dollars and to really look at this shared safety model and looking at public safety in a different way.
Wow, love it. Mm-hmm. Yes, love it. And I'm glad you explained everything. I don't have to ask you. For transportation and infrastructure, what improvements are being planned to enhance Vallejo's roads, public transportation, and overall infrastructure?
So for transportation and infrastructure, there was a measure that was passed in the last, not this last election, 2022, Measure P. And those dollars were specifically for infrastructure and road repairs. Now we have a new mayor, Mayor Source. She sits on the STA board. And she sits on the STA board. And
on the transportation agency.
Yes, thank you. I live in the acronym soup. That's
well, that's easy, right?
I went to my Rotary meeting this morning. Yes. And a good friend of mine has just been elected to Vacaville City Council, Ted Freeman.
Oh, wow.
And Ted's like, I just got a whole book of acronyms. Yes. And I'm reading this thing, trying to figure out what in the world these three letters mean.
Yes.
Sorry, I didn't mean to
interrupt. No, that's perfectly fine, because you get the book and all you see is the acronyms, because when you talk to department heads or you're talking to staff, they speak in acronyms, and you're like, okay, well, let me write this down and then go back to it and say, what does this mean?
Yeah, again? I actually write C. I write, not the whole thing. Then we'll Google later. Right.
And this is what I'm doing now, not fully explaining. But as far as like transportation, I know that there's a close partnership. WETA, which used to be the like Water Transit Agency, and I'm missing the E, they just rebranded themselves as SF Bay Ferry. Because they're partnering closely with the city of Vallejo. Pipindu is on the board of SF Bay Ferry. So looking at how Vallejo could be more vital in that conversation and relationship. And also to expand our ferry routes and services outside of just San Francisco. Everybody in the Bay Area goes to San Francisco, but it'll be cool to have a route from Vallejo to Jack London Square or Vallejo to Treasure Island.
I love the ferry. When I go to the city, almost exclusively take the ferry.
Yeah, I love the ferry as well. Like, we take the boys to the city, like, via
ferry. I've never done that.
Come to Vallejo.
So I'm coming, yes.
That's one. And then also, I have to have a follow-up conversation with the chair of the board, who is Mitch Mashburn. He also sits on STA, but just interested in having a conversation with him in regards to transit oriented housing. So if we're going to build housing, it needs to be next to public transit.
Yeah.
And looking at accessible routes in Solano County and Vallejo and how to really connect. Again, we are the Bay Area, but where are those key touch points?
Yes.
When we're talking about connecting the core Bay Area to Solano County and vice versa, because we don't have a BART. We have the R or the red line that goes from our transit hub to the BART station. You have the ferry. Mm-hmm. There's more ways and for us to be inclusive instead of a car dependent county. So I'm looking forward to having that conversation with Chair Mashburn and continued conversations with Mayor Source.
Wow. Okay, stepping away from transportation, mm-hmm. but what programs or initiatives are in place to support youth development, education, career readiness in Vallejo?
That's a good question. And just to circle back to transportation real quick, because our Assemblywoman is the chair of the Transportation Committee for the state.
Yes, that's right. So, she used to be a housing specialist.
Yes.
And now now she's moved into this transportation thing.
Yes. So
Lori Wilson
is our Assemblywoman. So it's been really awesome just working with her office and also working with, what is it called? The Working Families Coalition, and that is Napa Solano. So you have elected officials from both Napa and Solano County. You have environmentalists from both counties, labor unions, and the big conversation has been Highway 37. We don't want to be told.
Thank you.
Yes. Recently signed a letter stating that we are against the tolling that will be on Solano County side of it. So continuing to have those monthly conversations, and Assemblywoman Wilson is very instrumental in keeping us up to date.
She's wonderful.
Yes, she is.
We interviewed her. Oh, amazing, wonderful, resourceful, and connects you to things when you need it. So yes. We have everything plus for her.
Yes. So sorry, I wanted to make sure I highlighted that before going to the next question. Fabulous. Can you repeat the
youth?
So I would say that our county can do a better job in youth development, funding and youth development advocacy and work overall. But I know in Vallejo specifically, there are some amazing organizations that does like youth development and really working with them to either provide workforce skills, like education skills, even helping them define their voice and how it sounds in community within their homes, outside their homes. And I know that specifically there is a youth director in Vallejo, Victoria, who's amazing and is taking 6 or 7 youth to a conference, I believe in Atlanta. Don't quote me on that, may have the wrong city, but it was amazing to see the young people at the last city council meeting to talk about their experience, why they wanted to be a part of it. They talked about the high school they went to and what they want to bring to Vallejo specifically. Mm-hmm. But we can do better as a county to really support our young folks in development and education awareness overall.
And I really want to encourage you, since I have you sitting here at Miriam's table, that I was a public school teacher for 20 years. I taught music, so it was a little different.
Oh, no, I played bass. So.
Upright?
Yes.
Wow, that's awesome. I love it. But when I was a kid, we had wood shop, metal shop, auto shop. We had all these shops. And then the focus was everybody has to go to college. You got to go to college. You're not going to make it. And then our house burns down next door in the LNU fire. And our contractor is telling us he learned all of his contracting stuff by doing it. Wow. He had like a mentor. And he's looking for somebody to mentor, but there's nobody out there because they don't have the basic skills that the high school programs gave them. So just want to put that bug in your ear.
No, thank you for that. And that's like the whole purpose of being a public official or elected official is sitting and listening to community and saying, where should I be focused? Or even how to bring in those resources. Now, like my mind is racing and it made me think of even CTWI, is Construction Training Workforce Initiative, and that's a partnership with our Solano Napa Building Trades.
And the unions,
and the unions. Yeah. And they have like a class in one of the high schools in Vallejo, and they do an annual field trip to one of their union halls. Last year, I can't remember the union hall, and I refuse to say the wrong name, so I'm in trouble. But they brought all the high school students from throughout Solano County to tour the union halls, speak with the union members about like how fruitful that journey has been for them. So that's one way. But again, overall, like, we do need to do better in providing just the essential skills for young folks, whether in high school and even if you're not going to college, because college isn't for everyone. As we're learning, there are different pathways. And there's actually a cool program in Vallejo. It is the Vallejo Working Waterfront. Well, it's not Vallejo. Let me take that back, because Bobby will get you. It is the Working Waterfront Coalition that's housed in Vallejo on Mare Island. And this program is for transitional age youth. It is a 10 to 13 week program to teach individuals maritime jobs and skills, and then once they graduate from the program, they'll be connected to a employer to match it. They just signed a MOU, a memorandum of understanding, with the Carpenters Union. So
cool.
Yeah, that's something that is cool that's happening in Vallejo. And I'll say overall, Solano County, there's an amazing program at the Solano County Community College where you get a I forgot what kind of degree it is. You can get a 4-year degree in 2 years from the Solano Community College.
Oh, yeah, I heard that one. Yes. Mm-hmm. So we have been working with the youth, basically our youth production is Tomorrow's Table podcast.
Mm-hmm.
What I hear is most of them saying that college, as we said, is not for all.
Right.
But they're also having a hard time getting information on trade schools. And that's what they were telling me. Where do you get this information? And I'm asking you, and I know you don't have all the answers, but is there a way, like the schools, or how can we get this information to our youth? Because their students, obviously the school is probably not giving them the information, because I just interviewed a couple. That's what they were saying, that they don't see college, but they see trade, but they don't know what is the advantages of trade. What is the advantage of going to college?
Right. We have an amazing building trades union business manager. His name is Danny Bernardini. And he is more than willing to come to your community to explain.
He's going
to
be in this podcast. Okay. Well, you have a cell phone, I text now.
Yes, I will. I was like, I need to earn brownie points. But love Danny overall, because he's so willing to meet people where they're at, to explain the whole purpose, like the purpose of the building trade, the partnerships they're trying to build, for example, with CTWI, getting high school students or young adults to come to the union halls to do the tour.
Yeah.
Like, he is very instrumental in making those connections. I always say, like, social media is one of the, it could be a blessing and a curse depending on how you look at it, but it is an avenue to get information out. So, like, when I get information,
exactly,
I tend to share it, but I believe that CTWI has a social media account. And I could share the handle at a later time with you, so you can put it on your social media to share with guests. But that is a way to get information.
That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Yes, because we live in an era where our youth is on social media.
Yes.
And it's going. It's not going to go back to not social media. So
right.
It's just getting all these resources for them easily accessible will have a, you know, a positive impact on them.
Absolutely.
Yes, it would.
Going to our next section, support for families. What resources are available for families in Vallejo, including childcare, healthcare, and mental health services?
There are a host of services and resources, and I would say that we have one of the better human social services department, and they have a variety of resources. And I know that they often partner with Vallejo to provide those resources. And like one of them, NAMI is one. And I know one of the, I think she's still on the board. I don't know if she is. Courtney?
No, she left the board.
Okay. So, but she was a great resource because she lived in Vallejo. She shared information from NAMI. She shared information from like the mental health unit and the behavioral health unit within HSS and continued and made partnerships within community. And going back to childcare, currently there's the First Five. They have the First Five Center that's on Sonoma. I can't get I feel like I can't give you a lot of information, but I don't know the exact address.
That's why we'll get it from but you. When you drive That's our past job Sonoma, to find it.
When you drive past Sonoma, you see this beautiful First Five Center sign. Oh. So I know where to turn in. It's right by Didi's off of Redwood. But they have a beautiful center there where they provide diapers, they have a food pantry, they provide parenting classes at that center. And then the county is also working on the early learning child care center. So they recently purchased the school building, the old Beverly Hills site, where they're going to make it an ELC. It's the first kind in the state, where they're bringing in providers, they're bringing in various resources, whether it's like housing resources, parenting resources. It will be housed in one building for parents to come and drop their kid off and be able to navigate other systems. There's also the PLTI Parent Learning Training Institute, where they train parents around like advocacy to be able to speak to elected officials or other groups around like needs, their needs in community as well. And then we have GVRD, which is an amazing resource for youth and children. Then you have I don't want to discount our school board. Our school board is pretty amazing, with like Dr. LaTanya Young sitting on school board, Carlos Flores, John Fox, where they provide a lot of information in regards to children attending schools in Vallejo. When we're talking about family resources, like, it's just a variety of resources that are available. It's just depending on what you're looking for specifically. And if I can take a point of privilege and like shout out the Boys and Girls Empowerment Group that works with children, youth, and their families, specifically from historically excluded communities. And they provide food, they provide, like, they have their summer camps, they have their after school program. Also, they provide diapers there. They even provide rides if a child doesn't have a ride to school. So these are some amazing organizations, or First Chance Vallejo, who works with student athletes and providing them with tutoring and helping them maintain their grades. That's another.
First Chance?
First Chance Vallejo. I'm sorry, Selena, if I got it wrong. But that's another, like, amazing resource.
Or, is the Levin in Vallejo?
Levin Kids are in Vallejo. They're in South Vallejo specifically.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow,
so they're in South
Vallejo. That's a lot of resources, actually.
Mm-hmm. They're in South Vallejo specifically. Mm-hmm.
This will be helpful. We will post all of these.
Yes.
Yes.
We should get a list. Besides your notes.
Yeah, I agree. Yes.
Regarding community engagement, how can residents get involved in shaping policies, advocating for change, staying informed about local government decisions?
That's a good question. There is a host of commissions and boards that people can, within your city and the county, you could be involved in. I know Vallejo has a host of like open seats on some of their commissions. I've sat on the Housing and Community Development Commission for several years because that was like my area of interest. But they have different ones, human relations, they have architect and the beautification commission, planning commission. And then when you go to the county has some similar commissions and boards, commission on girls and women.
Do you have to be a resident of Vallejo or Solano County?
So each of the board members, depending on the commission for the county boards, some of the boards you have to live within that specific district. And if you're interested in it, I'll always say reach out to your supervisor and say, hey, I'm interested in these commissions. If there's an opening, please let me know when there is an opening. Or you could go to the Solano County website and click the commissions link and to see if there are any applications open.
If you have never been on the Solano County community or website, it's unbelievable. There is so much stuff on there.
And yes, it
I
is.
Mean, like, you have your normal homepage, and you have all these listings down here, and then you have all these listings across the top
as
well.
So is it confusing?
No, it's very, very clear.
I think. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
But they are revamping the website to make it even more clear.
Oh.
So,
okay.
Yes.
I like
and
that.
Even more easy to navigate. So the website is getting a facelift. Mm-hmm. And what I always tend to do is I'll Google like Solano County Commission and Boards and then click the link and it will take you right to the link.
Right. Yes. Yeah, that would so be that me. Way. I go to Google what I want and then do the link.
Yeah. But you could go to the website, and that's one way. I also encourage folks to watch the meetings. So the Board of Supervisors, we meet the first, second, and fourth Tuesdays of the month at 9 o'clock. Our second meeting this month was canceled, so we'll have a meeting the fourth Tuesday of this month. And look into like your local cities. I know Vallejo specifically, they meet the second and fourth Tuesday. But like I said, they've been having a meeting every Tuesday since the beginning of January.
And the cool thing is the Board of Supervisors and city councils give people, just random people, if you have something you want to tell them, 3 minutes. You get 3 minutes. You fill out a little card and say, I'd like to speak. And NAMI, we have done that several times.
Yes.
In support of different legislation that. And that's
And you meet in Fairfield?
Yes. And so the Board of Supervisors.
Where DA, we went the other day. Christian Abrams?
Yes. Okay. So same we building. Meet first floor, 675 Texas Street.
Perfect. Yes. Now we know that.
And we encourage people to like either, and we're also online as well. So you can watch online. And I always tell folks, if you're a part of a like any group or organization, it's always good to have like a government community relations person. So you could take turns in the group to watch a meeting, to provide updates on what's happening. Again, call or email your local elected officials to say, hey, I'm interested in this piece. Is this ever going to come up on the agenda? Like, there's ways to just be engaged informally or formal sense. I even tell when I just spoke with some high school kids at Vallejo High. I was like, slide in my DMs. Like, I will answer your DM direct message on Instagram or Facebook. I'm more than willing to connect with
people. You actually did a mine.
Yes.
I DM'd you and right away she answered. I was like, that's great.
Yes, because it's all about accessibility. Yes. Like, if we're not accessible, then we're not doing a good job. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So taking that into small businesses, thinking about what resources are available to help local entrepreneurs and small business owners thrive.
Oh, that's a good question. I know that there are, each of the cities have their own chamber of commerce that provide various resources. And if you're a member, you get to go, even if you're not a member, they have their, I think it's bi-monthly mixers, but that's a good way to like meet other folks in the small business community and understand the resources there. Then there is the SBDC, Small Business Development Center. Where they provide resources. There was the revolving loan that's still available to some small business owners that were impacted by the pandemic. And I know I will say we're still in an endemic, depending on how you look at it, but with the pandemic, there's a revolving loan fund there, and you get to, you can access a loan after speaking with one of their specialists at a low cost interest rate.
Wow.
And then they also have various resources and trainings there, like whether it's like an infrastructure setup, whether you are looking to start a business, like what paperwork you need to complete, et cetera. It can be found there. Then we have EDC, the Economic Development Corporation, or is it commission?
I think it's commission.
Okay. So
one of those. One,
I know the purpose of it.
Yeah. That's the most important.
Yes. And like their role is to bring new business here to Solano County. But another one of their niche is to support small businesses here. Like, how do we really grow this? We already have an economic base and support in Solano County. How do we grow that business from the ground up? And I know their team has been very instrumental in, is there energy cost saving possibilities? Is there different, do you need to be a brick and mortar versus an online business? They provide some of that as well. And they're having their annual breakfast on March 7th to just talk about some of the economic opportunities within the county. So there's an array of resources that we have here in this county. And I know, for example, there's the Solano Black Wall Street group that's geared towards like black and brown business owners, but they will host a like vendor fair or a market fair to bring together like small business owners. So that way they have a space to where people, consumers can come and buy some of their stuff or be exposed to their businesses. And those, I know that wonderful. Happens up and down the county.
Those are wonderful resources.
Yeah.
Yeah, good to know all of them, and we will put it up as resources on our webpage.
And listeners, you need to know that Cassandra has no notes. This is all out of her brain.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. And she's so fluent with it. Yeah. No stopping. Yeah, awesome. Vision for Vallejo. What do you see as the future of Vallejo in the next 5 to 10 years?
Wow. That is a fully loaded question.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's why we asked.
What direction do you want to go?
And for Vallejo is such a beautiful city, the itty bitty city by the bay. Mm-hmm. And there are so many key pieces, or I'll say right now, there are a lot of silos that are happening in Vallejo, whether it's from the business to like the housing developers, to the entertainment, to culture. And I would love to see this group just like merge, or these groups merge or talk with each other around some of the possibilities. And still thinking about where I want to see Vallejo, but overall or high level, it is a tourist destination in the Bay Area. So like, for example, All-Star was this weekend. It would have been the perfect opportunity for Vallejo or Solano County to market itself as the affordable alternative to the San Francisco or to Oakland, where you could come and enjoy a quick ferry ride to San Francisco, or you can enjoy our wineries that are in our county, or you can enjoy some of our olive oil farms or peach farms or nut farms here. So it really is for Vallejo to be the core entry point to our county and to be that destination. And we will move from being, it's a P word, potential. Vallejo will move from just having the potential to really being that core, to really being the big city, that one of the economic drivers in our county. That's where I see it just overall.
Thriving
city. And I'm still like just figuring out like what that will look like with action steps and what it will be specifically. But that's where I see Vallejo. And it has everything that we look for. It has great weather.
Yes.
It has beautiful waterfront. It has this niche of a culture.
Mare Island.
It has Mare Island. It has Marine World. We have the fairgrounds. We have all these key parts. It's just making it, again, like how do they work together to really make sure the city thrives.
I'm sure you'll do it. Just talking to you today, I can see you will make everybody collaborate together to bring that thriving city.
And this is in partnership with our new council, and again, a partnership with our new senator and assemblywoman.
That's fabulous. I love that vision. I'm with you.
Thank you.
So where can listeners find more information about your work, upcoming community events, and ways to get involved?
Oh, that always looking for ways for folks to get involved. We are, I would say we're 2 months in. So one way to get in touch with us is through our social media. We are both, and I say we because I have an amazing team. And if I could talk about them real quick here.
Yes. We'll get 5 minutes for them.
They are so amazing, and I'm so blessed to like have them on the team. So when I say we, because it's not just like my seat, or it's not, I just sit at the table, but I am sitting at the table with 93,000 other folks, and two people really make it happen. One, my chief of staff, Tony Stewart, who also lives in North Vallejo. He is amazing. He is getting his degree in political science, but he has a decade of organizing experience, specifically with fast food workers and talk about minimum wage. And he, in his interest areas, he loves urban planning and water and land use. Like those are his niches, but he's such an amazing, amazing guy. And my other staff person, who's our like executive office administrator, she's bilingual in English and Spanish, is Yuritsi Yocabo Martinez. And her niche has been seniors, children, youth, family, social services. And now she's picked up immigration as well. But she is an amazing, she lives in Central Vallejo, and she's a mom of four. I always forget she has an older son. as well. So she's a mom of four, and like, and so amazing and just caring and nurturing. And those two folks really make this like machine move. Mm-hmm. And it's so, for me, it's like, it's just, again, so blessed and excited to be working with them, because they also challenge me even when I don't want to be. But it's cool to work with the team where you could be vulnerable and you could be safe, because this is some hard work to do. So I wanted to give them a shout out, and that's why I mentioned the we. But you can reach us at, we're on social media, we're on Instagram and Facebook for now. We're gonna go into other social media world, but for now, Facebook and Instagram at Supervisor Cassandra. That's the official office page where you can get all updates. And we also have a Linktree. So Linktree.com/Supervisor Cassandra. And that you'll have access to our emails and numbers and community updates. And right now, you can also go to the SolanoCounty.com page and you could click the Board of Supervisors, District 1. And that has like a bio and our contact information on there. And we're also developing a website ourselves specifically just for the office, so people can access that too and come visit us. We're at 675 Texas Street. We're on the sixth floor. And you can always send us an email or a call, or if you want to pop up, you can pop up. One of us will be there if we're not in community. That's another way to get in touch with us. And to get involved, we will be rolling out a community ambassador program. So we want folks to become community ambassadors, whether, because there's so many events to go to, we would love to expose different community members to those events.
Well, sorry to cut you off. Will this be for the youth or for adults or for both?
So community ambassadors will be for adults. Okay. So will be for adults specifically, and we'll be rolling that out in April or May, and you will be all this information will be on our social media.
Okay.
And we'll send an email out to community as well. And then for youth, we are planning to have youth internships and fellowships. So
I like that.
The youth internships won't start until mid-June, and it will be for 2 months. So for our college students or seniors who may need some hours and who doesn't mind doing community engagement, we plan to be we want to be at the farmers market. We want to be at the different summer events. GVRD does a host of summer events. Our Vallejo Main Street does a host of summer events, or they do their Hot August Nights event. We want to be sure to have a presence there. And that will be a part of like our youth internship. And then we'll do a non-paid, but you will get community service hours.
I think as a high school student, that's all you need, because yes, you can write that for your college personal statement. I have a couple of those I'll send to you, Mitch.
I'll personally write a letter of recommendation if one of the youth need it. We're copying.
Did you hear
the
that, youth?
Yes, I will.
Or mothers for your children.
Yes. Because I know how important those, like the letter of recommendation is. And this is a model that we are taking from the campaign, because we had a lot of young people walk for us during the campaign, and we partnered with one of the schools. So they ended up developing a debate and had their first ever youth debate. Like, it's really about ensuring that our kids or our young folks have the tools that they need to be involved in the process, but be confident about it. Have fun with the process. It's not just stiff suits and boring conversations all the time. So, and we're using that model again, like some of the kids, youth hit me up or slid in my DMs and it was like, hey, do you mind writing me a letter of recommendation? And I freely wrote them a letter of recommendation to talk about, because their skills are transferable to anything that they want to do. And even when they see me in like the grocery stores or at the events, they were like, hey, supervisor, how are you doing? And it was because they're like, I've never known a supervisor or I've never known to have a relationship with an elected official.
I was just going to say, see, even from the beginning, I got the energy. You're so inspiring. What inspires me about you is, as a leader, you give value to each person. And you give voice and give credit to the people that work with you. And I think if we have leaders like that, that's beautiful, because you're giving to each person you just talked about your team and all how they inspire you, work with you. So thank you for being that kind of leader.
Thank you again for this opportunity just to sit with you and share with community, because again, it's really important to me to be accessible, as accessible to community, have the conversations, whether it's good, bad, or ugly.
Yes.
And pulling people into the process. This is, I say this with so much love, politicians don't know everything, and sometimes we're not the smartest people in the room, but everyone in community have their niche, and we have those smart folks in community. And this seat isn't about the I, it's about the we. And it's making sure that we collectively figure out this big community problem or issue together. So
that was wonderful. Well, we have to wrap up. Anything else you would like to say to the listeners before we wrap this episode?
Be sure to follow or like our page again at Supervisor Cassandra. We are on Facebook and Instagram, and I look forward to just seeing you in community.
Thank you
so much. Thank you.